Shalom everyone, and this week we're going to study Parashat Chukat, the book of Numbers, chapter 19, verse 1. And it's about many topics, but they're all connected to one thing. It is the secret of health and illness, well-being, or losing it, which is very, very deeply engraved in our like biggest desires and fears, which means well, biggest desires to succeed and to go on and to go up the ladder better and better and improvement and so on. Everybody wants that. That's a human built-in desire, want, and vision. Okay? However, we know that decay, destruction, and death, they always threaten us from the moment we are born. And so in this parasha and the coming parashot, you have to remember that Parashat Chukat usually coincide with the beginning of the month of Tammuz, Cancer. And we all know that the word cancer is not something everybody gets excited about when they hear that word, right? So when we are talking about the month of Tammuz, which is related to in the Zohar as one of the hardest 3 months of the year. The 3 months along the year that are the most challenging over the year, the whole year long. Tammuz, the month of Cancer, Av, the month of Leo, and Tevet, the month of Capricorn. All three have an inbuilt, embedded danger of getting out of control, out of balance. So during these 3 months, says the Zohar, we need to be over careful about ourselves because we can slip, we can stumble, we can lose it, we can damage ourselves if we are not careful enough, which means being careful is having an upgraded awareness that, you know, if you feel insulted, attacked, abused, or whatever, don't take it personally. Yes, this is a state of mind we all need to have daily, every day along the year. Okay, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Still, during these 3 months, we need to be over careful. Okay, so what is the connection between Parashat Chukat and the coming four parashot that will be very much focused on healing? This parasha, the next parasha, that we are going into few parashot that culminate with Parashat Pinchas, which is the most powerful parasha of healing, although Parashat Chukat is a very, very powerful parasha of healing too, and we'll see why. So why do we need those parashot? And as we learn, there's an ancient saying that God always prepares the remedy before the disease is hitting. So this is a remedy. How do we use this remedy, which is called Parashat Chukat, in order to elevate ourselves and intensify, strengthen our immune system, which is the major issue of Parashat Chukat? All the symbols of strengthening the immune system belong to this parasha. Now, still, this parasha is also usually connected to the month of Gemini. So we'll see like some stuff that is carried on from the previous parashot, and then the preparation of the parashot of healing that are coming for the month of Cancer, the month of Tammuz. Now, how do we learn that? So the parasha, as we said, it's chapter 19, verse 1. וידבר השם אל משה ואל אהרון לאמור, זאת חוקת התורה. The name of the parasha, Chukat, is taken from the words Zot Chukat HaTorah Asher Tzivah Hashem Le'emor. This is the Chukah, which is very hard to translate into English. Now, in modern Hebrew, Chukah means constitution, which means this is a law. We know that there are certain laws that are constitutional, and then there are laws that were, they came later on. The parliament, the congress, whatever, added these laws. When we are talking about in modern legal system, in many countries, the moment you say this is constitutional law, it means that this is engraved, this is something that is almost impossible to change. No one really wants to change the constitution because that always brings huge troubles. So you would prefer to leave the constitution the way it is, and you play usually with other laws, and you need always to deal with the issue, are these new laws constitutional, which means are they just coming to bring the spirit of the constitution and make it more clear to the people and the government, or is it unconstitutional, which means these laws are against the spirit of the constitution. Okay, so I think that what I just raised I think a lot of people are discussing this issue as we speak. Meanwhile, the word chukah, we know this constitution means something really essential, in the root, the base, the foundation. Okay? However, if we go back to Parashat Bechukotai, the last parasha of the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, and already over there, Rashi, the great commentator, and the other commentators were saying, we can see from the beginning of Parashat Bechukotai, we say Bechukotai, Telechu Mishpatai Tishmeru, which says, if you go by my chukot, plural of chukah, and you observe my laws, which means Rashi is saying, so chukah and mishpat are two different things. When we talk about chukah, when we talk about mishpat, it's not the same, otherwise the Torah does not have to mention both words. So what's the difference between chukah and mishpat? And if we understand that, we'll understand better the issue of why this parasha is called chukat. So let us see what the story is about. So Parashat Chukat is full of stories, and let's try to cover the basics of these stories. The first one is Zot Chukat HaTorah, and it's speaking about the red heifer. What's red heifer? During the time of the tabernacle and later on the two temples in Jerusalem, one major law, ceremony, or any kind of tradition was around the ashes of the red heifer. And the red heifer, law of the red heifer is described here. This is the place that that law appears, and the commentator is saying, by bringing this law, which starts on verse 1 in chapter 19, and I think it's for the, yeah, it's till the end of the chapter, okay, till verse 22, this is the law of the red heifer, and by this we conclude all the laws that started to be introduced to us in the book of Leviticus. So till now, Leviticus and the book of Numbers, till chapter 19, is completion of the laws of the temple. Okay, now, and after that, we're starting something totally else. By the way, When we jump from chapter 19 to chapter 20, why do I say we jump? Because chapter 19 belongs to the laws introduced to the nation of Israel on or next to Mount Sinai. Okay, so that's why it is the book of Leviticus and 19 chapters in the book of Numbers. However, chapter 20, okay, chapter 20 in the book of Numbers is happening 38 years later. 38 years later, we are already after the journey of 40 years in the desert. 30 years later, and we are starting to read about the nation of Israel starting to move forward towards the promised land. Now there's no question, we're going, we're not going, we're going. Okay? The first steps of moving out of Sinai and towards the Holy Land is happening in Parashat Chukat. However, the question is, why Parashat Chukat starts with the red heifer, which is only the first 22 verses? So let's read what the Zohar is saying. By the way, for whoever does not know what the red heifer is about, as I said, that was one major law. Why? The law is like this. Any person who was in the same room with a dead body or touched a dead body, okay, becomes impure. That's the law of the Torah. That's a constitutional law. The law says you become impure, and there are few levels of impurity. This is the highest of them all, which means the strongest of them all, the impurity of a dead body. That impurity is so strong, when you are impure, with that kind of impurity, which all of us have it today. Why? Because it is infectious. What does it mean, infectious? If you touched somebody who touched somebody who touched somebody who was in the cemetery and became impure, you are impure. And that goes on, that means that all of us, the moment we are born, somebody touches us, a mother, the midwife, the doctor, the nurses, whatever, we become impure because they touch us, and they 100% they touch somebody who touched, or they've been to a cemetery or in a room with a dead body and something like this. So we all have that impurity that is called the impurity tum'at, in Hebrew tum'at met, the impurity of a dead body. So what if we are impure? The point is like this. There are certain levels of spiritual connection that you cannot achieve unless you're being purified from that impurity. For instance, if you cannot go into the Temple Mount, in the area of the temple, if you have that impurity, then if you do that, this is a big, big short circuit. Why? It's a very high intensity, and you need to be pure enough in order to be able to communicate with that intensity of holiness. Without that energy burning you up. Okay, so that's one thing. What else? There are many, 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 many deep Kabbalistic meditations that you cannot simply access as long as you are not purified. How? And there are also so many other issues of understanding, contemplating, perception of higher levels of higher worlds, that as long as we still carry that impurity, there's no way we can access those levels of understanding and perception. So how do we get rid of the impurity of a dead body that we all carry? Okay, and the answer is, you need the ashes of a red heifer. Okay, so, ashes of a red heifer. What if I use something else? No, there's nothing else. This is the law. That's how the parasha is starting. You have the impurity of a dead body, you need the ashes of the red heifer. How do you create the ashes of the red heifer? You need to take, that's verse 2 in the parasha, ויקחו אליך פרה אדומה תמימה. You need a red young cow that is completely red, two hairlines that are not red, it's not a really kosher for that purpose. אשר אין במול, מום, that has no blemish, אשר לא עלה עליה עול, that never gave anyone a service, never carried the yoke. Okay, and not just a yoke, any kind of a burden. So if the farmer that raised that cow, he had something in his hand, let's say a blanket, and he needed two hands to do something, didn't know where to put it, and he put it on the cow, it's not kosher anymore. Why? It had a burden. It was serving somebody else. Okay? Soon I'm going to explain what does it mean. Now you have to take that cow, slaughter the cow. It has to be the high priest, or it should be next in the line to the high priest. The cow should be burned to ashes in front of the temple on Mount Olives. There was a special place. So from that place, you can look directly into the Holy of Holies. Well, while the cow is being slaughtered and burned, together with cedar tree wood, okay, and hyssop. Also, shni tolat, it's another ingredient. And the ashes that come out of it, what do you do with that? You have to put the ashes in, a little bit of the ashes in pure spring water. And this spring water can purify those people who have the impurity. So, we understand that no one could get into the temple for any of the temple rituals without being cleansed by this ritual. Okay, which means, why is it that today most rabbis totally are against of any Jews coming up to the Temple Mount? Because what they say is, we don't know for sure what part of the Temple Mount is the original temple, what and what part is an extension that was built later on by King Herod, which it does not have that intensity of holiness. Since we do not know that for sure, whoever comes up to the Temple Mount without being purified by the ashes of the red heifer, this is a terrible, dangerous act for your soul. Most rabbis for centuries decree this way. And therefore, most Jews do not go up to the Temple Mount. Okay, today, there are some rabbis who do say that according to modern research, we know almost for sure where was exactly the temple and what of the Temple Mount you can go in without that purification. Why? Because we do not have ashes of the red heifer nowadays. The last ones who use it were during the 2nd century, maybe 3rd century CE. Rabbi Akiva had some. They raised themselves to high levels using the ashes of the red heifer. A magical potion, because when you put it in spring water, it can remove that blockage that prevents us from entering the gates of the higher realms of consciousness. Okay? So why, how would that, reading that, will help us in our life? Because we don't have right now access to the edges of the red heifer. So let us see, why is it important? Because we know, whoever studied about the Hebrew prayer book, we know that after the temple is being destroyed, it says uneshalma farim sfateinu. Instead of the rituals of the offerings of oxen, we can use the readings instead. Okay, which means by reading from the Torah or studying the parasha, especially chapter 19 in the book of Numbers, there is some quality of purification. For what? From that energy of death. Okay, especially the Torah reading of this parasha on Shabbat morning, that is being read from the parchment in the synagogue. Now, let us try to see what's in it for us, and what is that concept that we're dealing with, that is one of the most important concepts in all teachings of Kabbalah and spirituality. As I said before, the whole thing about how do we deal with decay, destruction, loss, or in another word, how do we deal with death? How do we rise above death? Because somehow, from what I just said, something in the ashes of the red heifer, it has the ability to remove death from our midst. Okay? So I'm reading now from the Zohar, Parashat Chukat, Perusha Sulam, Rabbi Ashrag's commentary, verse 16. Zot Chukat HaTorah, Zot Da Ad Kayama, Delai Perash Da Minda, Dikrei Ze, Uminukba Ael Lidcha, Valda Shamor Vezachor, Kachada Mitchabran, Chukat HaTorah, Chok HaTorah Mibayelei, Mai Chukat. So the Zohar starts with Zot Chukat HaTorah. This is the signal of the covenant. Okay? It says Zot, this is, and that aligns with this is the signal of the covenant. Lo nifedu ze mize, klomar shebamila zot shi malchut nichlelet amila ze. The first word before, the word before Chukat is Zot, this is. However, in Hebrew, you can say it differently, but still the usage of the word Zot, or that's for in female text, or grammatically, if you talk to a male, it is Ze. And the Zohar says, Zot is Malchut, Ze is Yesod, male, female and male. Okay? So the moment we say Zot Chukat HaTorah, it comes to include Ze, which means there is some unification between Sfirat Zeranpin, the female aspect, the aspect of the heavens, with the the male aspect, the aspect of the heavens, that's Ze, with Zot, which is the female aspect, the aspect of the earth, the recipient. Okay, creation, the creator, Ze, male, creation, female, the recipient. Shezei Yoresh Yesod Malchut, and it is to show that state of the unification between male and female, Yesod and Malchut. Okay, Valken Shamor Vezachor, and he brings, when we say Shamor Vezachor, that's another instance that we're talking about the unification between the cosmic force of male and female, because when they come together to be one, we have what we all need, which is the unification between the source of light and energy and bliss with the vessel. Okay, how do we achieve that? So the Zohar is asking, Chukat HaTorah. Again, when we say the word Chukat, it's in a female tense. It's a female. Chok, it's male. Why do we use the female form and not the male form? Why saying Chukat HaTorah? Why not Chok HaTorah? Why female? Why not male? Okay? Ela, verse 17. Ela Chukat Vadai. Meshiv, no, it says for sure it is Chukat. Why? And he gives us a game of letters. I won't go into it too much, but he's saying there's something in the word Chukat that you have in the letter Taf. The letter Tav is when you unite the letter Dalet and the letter Nun. Okay, both the letter Dalet and the letter Nun. Dalet is poverty, lack. Nun is falling. When you put them together, how does a scribe writes the letter Tav? He writes a Dalet. And then on the left of it, he sticks to it the letter Nun. That's how you get the Hebrew letter Tav, okay, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Happens to be also that the letter Tav is the letter that, according to the Book of Formation, that is related to Abraham the patriarch, the moon, which is a ruling planet of the month of Tammuz, the month of Cancer, was created by the letter Tav. Which means the letter Tav, excuse me, is basically the frequency. In Hebrew, the word for a letter, Ot, means a frequency, a vibration, a note, okay? A vibe, or a signal. It's all in the letter Ot. So that cosmic frequency that is represented by the letter Tav created the moon, the force that the moon, the physical heavenly body that we call it the moon, is representing a spiritual force in the creation that is from the letter Tav. The letter Tav, we learn from the Zohar, is the letter that symbolizes death. Why? It is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it says in the Zohar that people, 30 days before their death, they receive the signal of the letter Tav on their forehead. Luckily, most people cannot see that. Okay? Some people do have the ability to see that because, you know, there's a saying, it's written on your forehead, the letters appearing on our forehead, these letters show what's happening inside. And when the letter Tav appears, that means the end of the road. Within 30 days, this person is moving on. So, why death? As we see, the letter Tav, which symbolizes death, here is the letter behind the moon, which is the ruling planet of the month of Tammuz. And by the way, the month of Tammuz, also the word Tammuz, starts with the letter Tav. Okay? Now, if we take the letters of the month of Tammuz, you see that the letters of the word Tammuz can be read Tam Vav Zayin, completion, or Met Vav Zayin, or death. Two of Vav Zayin. What is Vav Zayin? Vav Zayin, the two letters Vav Zayin, how do you write the letter Chet? The letter Chet, which is the first letter of the word Chukat. We said there's a Chet and a Taf. The Chet, the first letter of the word Chukat, and Taf is the last letter of the word Chukat. Taf is for the moon, the ruling planet, for the month of Cancer, and Chet is the ruling planet. This is the letter of the month of Cancer, the sign of Cancer. How the Chet is being written? Vav Zayin. When you when a scribe, according to the Arizal, Rabbi Zechariah, writes the letter Chet in the Torah, he writes a Vav, left to it he writes a Zayin, okay, not connected, then he makes a little roof that connects the two letters together. That's how you write the letter Chet. So the two letters of the month of Tammuz, which is, again, you see in the word Tammuz, Met Vav Zayin, or Met Chet, death. So all the letters, the game of letters, vibrations, and connection of death appear in the month of Tammuz, which is the sign of Cancer. Okay? So we know that death somehow appears very strongly in front of our face as we move from the month of Gemini, the month of Mount Sinai Revelation, into the month of Tammuz, which is also the first month of the summer. Okay, now the Zohar explains, Rabbi Ashlag is giving us a little explanation. An explanation is like this, I'll read part of it. Since we know that Zot is the Malchut, Sfirat Malchut, Zot HaTorah, הידי שיאמר זאת חוק התורה. It could be said חוק התורה, the law of the Torah. Why חוקת? Why adding the letter Tav? And the letter Tav emphasizes the חוק, the law. Why? בקיציור או תף, as we said before, the picture of the letter Tav מורה על וחיבור שתי אותיות, it's a combination of two letters, as we said, דלת and נון. אשר הדלת מורה על דינים דדוחה, the letter דלת shows, symbolize, or stands for, judgments from the male aspect. What is judgment from the male aspect? Let's say, we want something badly, okay? Like all of us. We are living in a generation that you wake up in the morning and through the whole day you're just thinking, what is that I want badly and how do I achieve it? And you know, we have a new religion. If I want it badly, it means that it's okay. If you really want it, go and get it without any ethics. Now, the point is very simple. This is very dangerous. Why? If you listen to the classes that I gave about the some 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, about the corona virus and the whole issue, what is a plague? And the Zohar explains that the plague appears when there's too much judgment of the male aspect. What does it mean? When we want something very much, when we have that powerful drive to get and to take and to experience, and just to suck it in, to have and to have and to have, you have to remember that if you are monotheist, you know that the Creator is the endless. That's the God of endless light, endless sharing. The Creator says never no. So the moment we ask for it, we will receive. What's the problem is that we do receive. So when we receive, we get the high that we want. What's the problem? The result of that high is called dinim d'dchora, the male aspect of judgments. What does it mean? Since we want it so much and we received it, okay? Let's say we want to receive excitement and joy and whatever, and we go and we use and we do it by spending money, buying stuff, taking some alcohol or drugs, whatever, going and do all kinds of extreme stuff that gets us excited, okay? We will get excited. The problem is, all of that light that comes in, because we requested it, the moment we have no legal vessel to hold it, What does it mean, a legal vessel? We know that since the creation, since the Tzimtzum, or later on the Big Bang, there is a law. The fact that you want something doesn't mean you can keep it, which means no free lunches. You want to contain happiness, fulfillment, excitement, greatness, and any kind of pleasure, you need to create a vessel. How do you create a vessel? By following carefully the laws of caring, giving, being there for somebody else, working hard, and this is the vessel. How do you build a vessel for contentment and fulfillment? It needs to be a vessel that is made of giving, caring, and being there and loving others. Not just by intention, by actions. Okay? When we create that, then we have a vessel to contain the pleasure and the fulfillment and the bliss. However, if we want, just because we want, just because we feel like having it, just because, and this is half the truth, the half the truth, we were created to be fulfilled. We were created to be happy. However, there was the contraction that seemed soon. We came out of the world of fulfillment and perfection into a world of blemishes, negativities, and challenges, so we can perfect it. How do you perfect it? By generating the power of what is called Or de Chassadim, the light of Chassadim. Chassadim means doing actions of grace, love, and sharing. That energy that we generate by giving, by making the effort of being there for somebody else, that's the only vessel to contain fulfillment. And therefore, I will repeat it as I said it many, many times, I never met happy, selfish people. Why? When you come, any person that comes with a huge desire for joy, for happiness, and so on, he will get it, or she. The problem is, if that's just a desire to receive without the Or de Chassadim, the light of caring, the light that is generated when we do something for somebody else, when we do give value to somebody else out of our way, okay, just because we really want to help, to love, to care, and to share. That energy, Or de Chassadim, is what can become the vessel for real lasting fulfillment. So, when a person wants, just because he desires, as I said, just because I want, I desire, you know, entitlement. You get that light. That light, when it comes in, it's called dinim deducha. It's in Aramaic, or meaning in English, the male aspect judgment. Why? Why male? Because it's coming from the male aspect of the creation. It's coming from the heavens, from the Creator. The Creator gives unconditionally. That's a problem. Because when we want to receive, He won't say no. We get it. What's the problem? That awakens the judgment, the male judgment. When a society is in that state of mind of just, how can I get higher? How can I get more excited? How can I get more pleasure? That is just focusing on fulfilling myself alone without caring about anybody else, no matter what it does for others. I do it for myself. That creates judgments of the male. When it's a whole society that is into it, the result will be a plague. What does the plague do? Cools down the judgments. Okay? These are the judgments of the male aspect. Why male? Because it's coming from the influx of huge amount of spiritual light without a spiritual vessel. The only vessel is the vessel, selfish vessel, just I want to receive. Okay? The letter Dalet is symbolizing this kind of judgment. Now, there's also letter Nun. The letter Nun is Dinin de Nukva, is the judgment from the female aspect. Okay? What is the judgment of the female aspect? When a person is very selfish, very negative, very upset, very angry, so those judgments block all spiritual light almost from coming in. And if you get it by stealing, cheating, and stuff like this, or the other kind of felonies, it awakens immediately a blockage. When these two letters, Dalet and Nun, come together, you have the letter Taf, which is death. What is death? There's too much, there are too much judgments, and the result will be decay. Okay, and when there's enough power of letter Tav, that will be a final death. A death, that means, you know, in this body, the cycle is over. There's no way to achieve anything. Now, and that's why the letter Tav appears on someone's forehead 30 days before they die, for all these 30 days till the death. Okay, God forbid. Now, so now we understand the power of death. Death is a result of judgment. Now, who creates that judgment? Here it says, Zot Chukat HaTorah. This is a call, as we learned in the Parashat Bechukotai, these are the universal laws. After the Tzimtzum, when the universe that we know about, that we understand, that we're living, has been generated and created, it was created with these laws. Which means, the same way that if you put your finger in the electric socket of a high voltage, you'll get electrocuted. The same way, if you just jump from a high-rise building, all of these are very dangerous for your physical life. The same way, on the spiritual realm, when you activate and generate male aspect judgments and female aspect judgments, that awakens the power of death, and this energy of death is accumulative. And when we get sick, is because accumulation of too much energy of death. When a person dies, it's because he reached already a critical volume of death energy, judgment energy, and that would kill him, and that's the letter Tav, the combination of Dalet and Nun. Okay, now, so when we understand that, the question is, how do we transform the death that we generated, because we're humans, and humans make mistakes, as we learn, even the wisest, the smartest, and the most righteous ones, the Torah is teaching us, nobody is immune. The moment you are waking up in the morning in a physical body, you have a great opportunity for another day, but you have also a challenge not to fall and not to make mistakes, okay? And not to be affected from previous mistakes. And that is what Parashat Chukat is about, the beginning especially. How do we overturn? How do we transform? How do we turn around the judgments that we accumulated in our lives? And the more we accumulate it, the flow of bliss into our life is basically, same thing. It's basically limited. The same way that somebody has too much issues with his arteries in the heart, the more the narrowing of the arteries, there's less blood flow, and you know the person can live a life that has a lower quality. The same way it is in our arteries, that's also in the spiritual arteries. that when those arteries are being blocked, the physical arteries below in the physical body will be blocked also one way or another. So, verse 18 in the Zohar. V'yikhu alecha para. What's about the word para? Para means a cow. But we have to understand that, you know, when we are talking about Kabbalah, Kabbalah is teaching us that we live in a huge matrix, in a huge computer program. The whole world is getting more and more into this idea that we can generate a virtual reality and we can live at least part of our lives in that reality. But you don't have to do that. We are already in that virtual reality. It's called our reality. It's virtual in a way, because it's all made of bits and forces and vibrations, letters and signals. If you know Kabbalah, you can understand the matrix, you can understand the program. And in every program of a virtual reality, that program has to be created with rules of cause and effect. Otherwise, how would you know how to behave in that virtual reality that you entered through your any kind of a computer device with special virtual reality glasses and something like this? You must know the laws of cause and effect. If you do this, that's what you get. You do this, you must understand the laws, otherwise you can't hang out in that virtual reality. Why is that happening? Because all of humanity is being prepared to understand that we live already in that virtual reality. Okay? That reality has laws. These laws are called Chukat HaTorah. Okay? These are the laws of death and life. What do you do to generate death? What do you do to generate life? And so when we come to why we're talking about a cow, okay? And the Zohar is very simple. The word cow in Hebrew, every word is part of the program. So if you take the word for a cow, para, you can divide it into two. Par, which means an ox, but also par, if you know Kabbalah, par is also the meaning of judgments. When we're talking about the major aspect of the universe of judgment, there are 280 aspects to it, and that 280 is par, okay? Because in Hebrew letters are also number. What is the hey? The hey is about the five major judgments that are the base of all judgments. So when you look at the word para, it's also a number that symbolizes all the different judgments that basically create diseases, pain, suffering. But remember, they don't create it on their own. You know, it's like a robot, like a computer. A computer doesn't have anything against you when it's not functioning. Okay? Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in, that's what you get. So don't blame your computer, don't blame the judgments. The judgments are basically those forces that if you behave in a certain way, those judgments are being awakened. Now, so it's not just a cow, it has to be a red one. Why red? So the Zohar says it's very simple. The color red symbolizes judgments. Everybody knows that. When you want to talk about, to symbolize danger, judgment, in our society, you put a sign with red. No entrance, danger, whatever, you put red. Okay? All over the world, this is today universal language of colors. Okay? That's red. And red is judgment. Well, so white has to be pure and complete, because you want to deal with a cow that is a physical being that can channel that force of pure judgment, like clear, concentrated judgment. Why a cow that does not carry any yoke? Because the moment that cow shears, it's not judgment anymore. What is judgment? As we said before, when I want something just for myself, and who cares about the consequences, and who cares about somebody else? That's one of the shortest ways to get into judgment. So yes, the same thing with electricity. When you have a short circuit, you have a lot of energy, okay? But the consequences, it's not going to be nice. Either there's going to be a fire or a disaster, or the fuse will pop and you have no electricity. You sit in the dark, okay? So this is why we're using the cow, but the word over here is Chukat HaTorah. Chukat HaTorah, what does it mean? This is how the universe is wired. Now, if you take that cow and you burn it, fire is also judgment. How do you generate an inoculation, or another word, vaccination? Do you know where the word vaccination is coming from? It's coming from the Latin word vacca. Okay, vacca is a cow. Vaccination means, you know, giving somebody immune to a disease. But why using the word vacca? Why the base of the word vaccination is from a cow? Because the first vaccination in medical history was made by Edward Jenner against smallpox using cowpox, because he realized that farmers who were milking their cows and they got cowpox, they were immune to all the other kinds of very virulent and dangerous diseases like smallpox and others. And therefore, he started to take, Edward Jenner, from those cows, places that you saw the blisters on the skin, and he took that liquid that came out and infected others. And that was the first vaccination. That's why it was called vaccination. Do you think that this is just by chance? No, because the strongest vaccination is the ashes of the red heifer. You take that power of red cow, para aduma, temima, simple, naked, raw judgment, and then you burn it by fire. How do you create a vaccination? Today, you take the source of the disease, you weaken it, and then you give it to somebody. They develop mild reaction, which means that's how the immune system reacts to the vaccination. And that is good, because it means that the immune system is reacting. It recognizes there is a foreign agent coming in, and it reacting to it, and then the immune system knows already how to deal with it. But then you become a little bit sick. Same thing with the ashes of the red heifer. You give it to somebody who is sick, which means impure. It reverses the impurity into purity. How? That sounds like the rules of homeopathy. It creates a reaction. It awakens. What? What do we do when we take the red heifer and we burn it? We create the opposite. Well, how do we create today a vaccination against the plague, against any plague, and especially the biggest plague of our generation, being burned out? You know, business, relationships, everything, we get burned out. Why is that we burned out? Because the moment you start with the left foot, which means, what do I take? That was a story of Korach, last week's parasha. Vayikach Korach, Korach started to take. I'm here to take. That's already the plague. You're already sick. How do you cure that? You have to awaken exactly the opposite force. You take the judgment, which the red heifer symbolizes, and you burn it to ashes. You add it to water. Water is the power of chesed. Now it awakens inside you the power that is exactly the opposite to the judgment, and that cancels the judgment. How do we do it today? Very simple, as I explained before. What creates our erosion, negativity, upset, and so on? Judgments. And the judgments are being created by A, going against the laws, against the chukat. By this we awaken the female judgment and the male judgment. How do we cancel them? When we awaken our own judgments. What's an own judgment? When we, as I explained last week's parasha, Parashat Korach, when we experience the judgment, which is upset, anger, selfishness, complaint, entitlement, whatever negative emotion, and I stop. Remember the stop sign. Color red. I stop completely and I ask for the light. I ask for sharing. I ask for giving. The moment I shut that negativity down and I replace it with any kind of an emotion of enlightenment, sharing, and giving, and I follow up by doing it, I canceled the negativity and the judgment by overpowering it, and I transformed it, and by this, I healed the judgment. That's number one story over here. This one is very important because any kind of real, true healing. I'm not talking about symptomatic relief. I'm talking about real healing. Real healing must be taken according to this rule that we just learned, the rule of the red heifer. You have to connect to the judgment to its core, which is the desire to receive. You have to shut it down by your own judgment. What is judgment? Overpowering desires, complaints, bad emotions, being right, you know, all of those emotions that are not really making us greater. Shutting them down and replacing them with emotions, thoughts, and actions, in that order, of caring, loving, sharing, helping others, outside our box of self-interest. When we do that, we heal the judgments. That's why always volunteering, charity, all aspects of doing something good for others, but in exchanging our negative mood and reaction with positive actions of sharing and kindness, that is the highest level of healing. Scientifically, it was already proven in many, many places, events, when people that are sick, even people, there was a research that was published decades ago, people are terminally sick with cancer. And instead of sitting there waiting for death to come and visit them, they go out and volunteer. They will get, by average, 3 more years of life. If somebody found a medication that will extend terminal cancer's life by 3 years, he would be very rich. Okay? What you have to do is not pay a lot. Just get out of your way and be there for somebody else unconditionally. That is what cures the judgment. This is what basically turns the law from a law that is against you to a law that takes you and brings you closer to the light and to true fulfillment and success. Now, but as I said, That's not the whole parasha of Chukat. The next thing, after immediately after that, we have in chapter 20, here it says, Vayavo bnei Yisrael, kol ha'edam mitbarzin b'chodesh ha'rishon. And the children of Israel come to the desert of Tzin, and it was the first month, the month of Nisan, and on the 10th of Nisan, Miriam dies, and she's buried over there in Midbar Tzin. So in this parasha, we have the death of Miriam, and because of the death of Miriam, the Israelites are losing their traveling source of water. And here is when Moses is hitting the rock, although he was not told to hit the rock, just to talk to the rock. And over here we have, very simple, in the same parasha, Miriam is not with them anymore. Moses is not coming into the promised land with them. And later on in this parasha, the death of Aaron, the high priest, and the loss of the clouds of protection. Finally, 40 years after the Exodus, the three great shepherds, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, are gone. And here, the whole nation must face real life, which means this is graduation. I don't know why, but you know, in many countries, this is the time that you celebrate graduation from school. Here is graduation for 40 years in the desert. From now on, you have to stand for yourself, and you have to deal with that by yourself. So, also, healing is when do you really get true permanent healing? Graduation, which means when you realize you're not dependent on the doctor anymore, not in the medications, not in the procedures, you have to take responsibility for your emotions, for your life, and the way you interact with the universe, with all its laws and rules that have nothing to do. The rules were not made personally, individually against you. They were made in order for us to grow and become divine creatures on our own. The moment you look at the rules in this way, you can heal. The moment you're looking as a victim at everything, why is this against me? And why is this against me? You're not on the healing track at all. You're just going to contain more and more complain, negativity, judgments, trying to steal here and there instant relief or joy, and suffer badly, which means basically letting death take over. This is a very powerful parasha. So here we have, I'm not going to cover all of it, but one of them is the story of the snakes. Everybody was complaining again. Why did you bring us to die here in the desert? It's not bad-mouthing the Israelites. It's about us. Doesn't matter how many miracles we're going to see. We need to face the challenge, and the challenge is that we have evil inclination. We'll always have that voice that's trying us again how to relate. And here we have the story of the snakes. Everybody's complaining, snakes are coming, people are being bitten by the snakes, they are starting to realize they have a problem, they're asking for forgiveness, and Moses is making the copper snake. What's the copper snake? That's a symbol of pharmacy all over the planet. Again, a symbol. Here's a cow and a snake, the two big symbols of healing in modern times, 33 centuries later, and the symbols of Parashat Chukat are still there in front of us, visible, but you won't see it unless you train your brain to see. That's all about keeping Chukat HaTorah, understanding there are laws for this universe, and you have to go and obey these laws and then you can achieve healing. And that's what this coming month is about. Thank you so much. Have a great week and a great month.